Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, members of council. Welcome to this evening's meeting of the South Eastern Area Planning Committee. Agenda item one, chairman's notices. There are basically two. Please note the council will be recording any part of this meeting held in open session for subsequent publication on the council's website. At the start of the meeting, an announcement will be made about the sound recording, which I'm doing. Members of the public attending the meeting with a view to speaking are deemed to be given permission to be included in the recording. And the second item is a fire notice. In the event of a fire, officers will notify those present. Please use the fire exits, which is at the back of the room. Mark with the green running man. The fire assembly point is Barclays Bank car park. Please gather there and await further instruction. Agenda item two, apologies for absence.
We've received apologies from Councillor Boyce and Councillor Helen Elliott.
Thank you. Agenda item three, minutes of the last meeting, found on pages 7 to 14.
Agreed.
Any members? Any questions? Agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you very much. Agenda item four, disclosure of interest. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraph 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. And members are reminded that they are also required to disclose any such interests as soon as they become aware, should the need arise throughout the meeting. Any member interests? Councillor Hill?
Items 6 and 7, one of the applicants is a fellow member of this council.
I think that applies to all of us, so...
That's correct.
That applies to all of us.
Yes, it doesn't...
That's non-pecuniary, by the way, no.
Councillor Fugler.
Chairman, agenda items 5, 6, 7 and 8. I don't know if I know the objectors or the supporters, because under the general data protection regulations, none of their names are recorded in these papers. So where you've got people supporting applications and opposing them, we don't know if they live local, we don't know if they live adjacent to the sites, we don't know anything, Chairman. And this is something that I have brought up with the Director of Planning. And in my mind, because of that, you can't give any weight to any of these objections. But I will say, Chairman, in agenda items 5, 6 and 8, I do know the applicants. But as for the objectors, and as for the supporters, who would know, Jim?
I think I would agree with you, and I think it's something that we really need to get confirmed, because it's nonsensical.
Well,
when people write in support or to object, then they have to give their names and addresses, and those names and addresses become public knowledge. So they should be on these agendas.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was brought up at council. Council last Thursday, and the Director of Planning is... He's looking into the situation and will report soon.
I think it's probably something that the monitoring officer should be looking at as well.
She was there as well.
Mm. Okay, thank you. Councillor Mrs. Channer.
Thank you, Chairman. Non-procurement and also member of Essex County Council should get consulted on matters of fire and access and other things.
Thank you. Councillor Beale.
As already been indicated, one of the applicants, fellow council, which we've already acknowledged. But I also know non-pecuniary interest, the applicant number 8 as well.
Okay, thank you. Any other members? In that case, we'll move on to agenda item 5, which is 85 Nipsall's Chase, part 2 story, part single story, front and side extension. It's here as a member call in and as a recommendation to refuse.
Thank you, Chairman. Planning Commission has sought to construct a part 2 story, part single story, side and front extension on a 2 story semi detached dwelling. Here you can see the location plan and the plot plan. The proposed development is the one on the bottom, the development to the southern part of the site. The existing elevations and floor plans, and also the proposed floor roof and elevation plans. Here we have some photos of the application site and the wider street scene. More views of the application site at the top and also the street scene looking northwest, and at the bottom is the rear of the application site. And there's some views of the neighbouring properties removing the application site. It's considered that the proposal as a result of the scale and positioning is considered to have a materially harmful impact. impact on the character and appearance of the dwelling. Furthermore, the design of the proposal will bear different relations to architectural character of the proposed dwelling and would erode the architectural symmetry between a pair of semi-detached dwellings. Therefore, it's considered that the proposal would be visually incongruous and in conflict with the established character and appearance of the original dwelling and the neighbouring property. Therefore, the proposal is recommended for refusal.
Okay, thank you. We have one person wishing to speak on this application, and that's the applicant, Mr. Dave McWilliam. Mr. McWilliam, good evening. You've got 2 minutes to state your case. You can just step forward to the edge of the there'll be a timer come up that will tell you when you start. At the end of 2 minutes, that's your lot. Thank you.
Hi, members. Basically, I wanted to kind of background of why I wanted to do this extension. A few years ago, my band was starting, so I'll be safe for that. My mother's been in hospital for 6 months. She's 83, my elderly dad of 87 has been her carer for quite a while now. My wife is a care home manager, and I feel that my mother should stay with us, however I wish to do that. I'd like to address the character of the building. It is a fairly standard 1970s semi-detached house. I don't actually feel it impacts on the harmony of the street scene. Every house down there is pretty much different. It's only the semi-detached that we're actually attached to that look similar to ours, and they don't have any issues with our proposed house. From the pictures you've shown, across the street is a development that's recently been done and looks very similar to what we're trying to achieve, so I feel we'll be following us with the rest of the street. Pretty much it.
Thank you very much. Board members, Councillor Channel.
I'll
need you to sort it out between you.
I'm afraid I've got little to say except I agree with the officer's recommendation.
Any other members?
Chairman, can I just ask for the elevation to put back up?
Some drawings. Can you make that slightly bigger? The drawing at the bottom? So which is the
particularly major or serious, but unfortunately I don't think the drawings are very good, so no, I rather agree with you, but I don't think the drawings are very good, so it's really hard to tell.
Chair, could we go back? Could we go back to the street scene? Would that help us a little bit? So, where is the applicant's house?
It's the one on the left, is it? And the extension will be on the left of that there.
Yeah,
what's
to the left
of
the other side?
What's, can you...
There's a single story window, which is this one that you can see here.
I can't see a problem.
The single story dwelling's to the south, isn't it?
Mr. Chairman, as we're having trouble, we've had trouble with these sort of drawings a long time before. I'm not blaming the officers, but can't we do better so at least we get a more ideal opportunity to know exactly what
we're
talking about?
We probably have no control over the drawings that an applicant may produce. And while they may look fine on a big sheet of paper, unfortunately, when they're in a small scale like that on a screen, it's very hard to tell.
But that's our projection problem, isn't it?
Well, it's a problem.
Not theirs. If we had drawings here, which is always going back to having paper, of course, if we had drawings here, we'd probably be able to see it a lot better, as it is, we're, what, 15, 20 foot away from it, and it's on a screen, which is fairly big, but not big enough for us to have use in.
Councillor Elliot, then Councillor Fluke, then Councillor Zasadito.
Mr Chairman, I'm sorry to disagree with the officers and the board members, but I can't see a problem, so I'm going to propose we accept
but
we support it.
You are proposing to refuse the recommendation?
Yes.
Just
is that seconded?
Maybe in a moment.
I
thought we had this.
We do, but Councillor Blue. But I do really need a seconder to a proposal.
It helps you leave it on our second.
Yeah,
I
think
it's
actually
on mine.
Councillor
Blue. I wonder if the officer could just confirm. Is it the front elevation or is it that side elevation? Because you've got the on the top row.
The third one along is the front elevation.
That's
yeah.
You can see the
yeah.
front door and you can see the garage which faces the road. But the one to the left on the top
yeah.
row, I just wonder is that right, okay, so that's the proposed elevation and the one to the left is the existing.
One on the left
one
is from the
top left is
from the north.
Well, one side has got a house next to it, hasn't it? So can we go? So that's the proposed elevation there. So there's no fenestrations in it. So we now go back to what does it look like now, the existing. So which one of those is that elevation?
In the same position.
Well, that's the front elevation, and the other one's the side elevation. Is that the side elevation? Is that the one that faces
the
bungalow?
No, they're both sides. You've got
both east, west, north, and south.
You've got the side from the north on the left, side from the south on the second one, and then the front, and then the rear.
Well, the most critical one, Chairman, maybe it's the way it's explained that. I don't understand this, but the most critical one is the elevation that faces the single story building, which dimension the officer referred to. So, do we have that elevation or not? Because that's the most critical one as far as the scene.
That's the second one in from the left.
No, that's the front door. I'm talking about the elevation.
No, it's
the
one.
It's a side.
That is a side against the single story building.
Okay, so that's the side. So that's what we've got there at the moment. So that side there overlooks the bungalow or the single story building. If we just flip back to the other one, and that's what it's going to look like. So they're going to do away with the side door. There's no fenestrations in there at all, proposed.
Not on the side elevation, no.
But the existing side elevation has fenestrations.
Door
and the window. So all of those fenestrations are going. So it'll just be a blank wall. And is that what concerns you when you made your professional opinion?
That concerns me primarily the impact of the two-storey front projection, the single-storey front element, and to a point of the side extension, because it's not supporting the proposed dwelling, which is normally expected the side extension.
But you would agree with me that the roof elevation is subservient to the existing ridge on the house?
Only the front gable is the part of the side is from into this.
Measurements of height.
I can't see it. Chairman, we did agree once, Chairman, that we were going to, these slides would be embedded in these reports. So we could just look. I mean, can I commend all the members for doing their apparatus this evening? Yes, we like, so we're all struggling with our paper. But if those reports were embedded in here, we can blow them up and we can do whatever we want them, Chairman. I'm sure you'd have a quick meeting. You can look at me like that, Chairman. But I have seconded Councillor Elliott's proposals. I don't really have a problem with this.
Councillor Mrs. Acevedo was next.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I really would like to know, and we were told by the speaker, the applicant, that the immediate neighbour did not object. I would like it confirmed by the officers, please, if that is the neighbour that is joined to this, the other part of the semi-detached, or is the person in the what I believe is a bungalow, even though that hasn't been clarified either. Is that one-storey building a dwelling, or is it a bungalow that somebody lives in? Is it a dwelling? It is. And could we please, sorry, through you, Chair, has the person in that bungalow made an objection? Because I really believe you need to know this. There's no objections whatsoever.
Only from the council.
Only from the council. Okay. And is that a dwelling?
It's a bungalow. It's a dwelling. Councillor Helm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know I want to change my mind. I don't want to agree with the officer's recommendation.
You don't want to?
No.
Okay. Has anybody got anything new to add to the discussion?
Can we just see the block plan? Can we just see that block plan where the single dwelling is? So that would be the front. So that would be the front garden. So the new proposal would be double height. Would it interfere with any habitable rooms of that single dwelling, which is, I think, to the south?
It's to the north, so it's
to the south.
So will there be any habitable rooms of the single dwelling affected by that double story extension projecting?
There are some windows on the side of that dwelling.
I would prefer to see a better design from what is Chairman, but I don't. I don't think the plans and should be put through and the officer said it perhaps did it justice. Now we've had a greater debate, I think that might be more acceptable. Because actually, I'm thinking of the one we did further down in Ipswich. I recall officers recommended refusal on one of the corner with Drake Avenue. And in fact, we agreed to agree as a committee. It was double story, and actually, it's been done. It's given a lot of extra space to the property, and it doesn't look too bad. I think the officer said, being on the corner of the street, it didn't match the street scene. So I'm just thinking of what has now been permitted further down with quite a big expanse and an extension. Right onto a virtual sideline, actually.
Okay. Councillor Pudney.
Thank you, Chairman. Just briefly, we do get lots of planning applications of this sort, and I always get quite concerned because it is, it's not just somebody wants to make the house bigger, it's
nobody's got anything new to add. We have a proposal by Councillor Elias, to be seconded by Councillor Fluker, to not accept the officer recommendation, but to approve the application, and that would be to subject to conditions.
And the both time and plans and materials to be as per the sequence.
Anybody got any other suggestions on that? No? In that case, those in favour of Councillor Elliott's proposal, please show. None against. That's being open-minded.
That's what debate and discussion does for you.
It is. Agenda item 6. It's a tree preservation, a proposed tree preservation order. I was half-minded to take it in conjunction with agenda item 7, but I do feel it might muddy the water, so I'm going to take them separately. Agenda item 6, which is a proposed TPO tree preservation order for a piece of land known as Peyton Place in Nipsall's Chase, Mayland. And it's here as a decision on confirmation of the TPO as per the council scheme of delegation.
Thank you, Chairman. Tree preservation order 4/2018 has been served to replace planted areas.
Because of the type that it is, and it's the objector. He's one of, I believe, one of the landowners, which is Mr. Payton. Mr. Payton, you'd like to come forward. You've got 2 minutes in which to state your case. You've got a timer up there, so keep you abreast of it. When you're ready.
My name is Kenny Payton, and I purchased the land which is subject to the TPO in question in June 2015. After the council granted the previous owner's permission to remove the invasive of scrub, which covered 95% of the land. Since then, we have literally planted hundreds of trees, not because we were told to do so, but because we wanted to. MDC engaged an ex-council tree officer using the Tempo system to decide the new TPO. We used the world-renowned Julian Forbes Laird, the man who actually devised, designed and owns the Tempo system. He has written a scathing report that MDC do not understand the Tempo system, and not least that their proposed order is ultra vires and cannot stand as a settled law that a TPO cannot cover scrub, yet MDC have placed a woodland order on scrub. He also states that tree orders should only be made when it is expedient and reasonable to do so. Trees under immediate threat, danger or poor management. It should only be for special trees in very special circumstances, not just because it's a tree. None of the above apply to our land. Forbes Laird also says it raises an eyebrow that MDC have seen fit to place a TPO on our newly planted orchard and other young trees, which we chose to plant. We will now have to apply for planning permission every time we need to prune or chop every branch on every tree. This will place a very large financial burden on MDC officer time. In view of the comprehensive report by Julian Forbes Laird, I urge the committee not to confirm this TPO, as quite clearly it is wrong, it is unfair, it is ultra vires.
Thank you. I don't know, ward members? Councillor Helm or Councillor Mr. Channel?
Yeah.
First.
Yeah.
in my mind, the trees, the good trees that could be seen above this shrub, are worth saving, but they won't be saved if they're constrained by all this shrub, because all it's done is force them straight up in the air, and they'll be subject to high winds then. Are we dealing with the orchid and everything else in the next bit?
No, you're dealing with everything that's on this part, which is on page 25, but we don't, Mr. Harrison has confirmed, we don't need to approve it all or refuse it all. It can be, if you'll pardon the expression, cherry picked and decide which bits we're going to go and which
regarding the rest of the trees, they are well cared for and don't need a preservation order in my mind. If they're looking after them, why do we need to preserve them? They can't be seen half of the road anyway. So, you know, they only need to be preserved if they're at risk, and none of them are at risk. The only ones that are at risk are in the shrub land, which needs clearing to make them grow. Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Harrison, I do have one very major concern on this, and that's on G1, which are the fruit trees that have been recently planted. Fruit trees, and I've mentioned this in the past, and I'll mention it again now. My parents were probably the biggest apple growers in the Morden district, and I think, therefore, it could be said I have a certain amount of knowledge on the subject. Apple trees, any fruit trees, mainly need to be pruned at least twice a year. Now, in order to do the pruning, they're going to have to come to the council every time to ask if it's acceptable. Is that correct? Which, in my mind, if they planted them as fruit trees as a growing crop, is absolute nonsense. I can't even see why it's being included in this.
The reason it's been included is somebody following the advice of two tree officers that have both independently looked at this and advised that part of the tree coverage of the site, these trees are a community value and therefore they're worthy of being part of the tree preservation.
I find it difficult to believe, but there we go. Councillor Mrs. Channers next, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. Where I've read this report is, there's already a TPO on there, which was an area TPO. So what this TPO is going to do is we're going to get away with that area TPO. We're just going to make this more specific so the identified trees can be easily identified. Am I correct? Right. Now, my understanding is also from the officer's report that it's also listed as a local wildlife site, Nipsall Chase Scrub. Is that correct? That's what the report says. So is this area within the local wildlife site Nipsall Chase Scrub, which it was called? Just ask those questions. What I would say in terms of this, if there was a TPO there before, I don't see a problem with a TPO coming back on being more specific with the trees that are already there. And regarding scrub, it depends what scrub is, if it's saplings or anything, then my understanding is they can be covered as well as time goes on. Regarding the fruit trees, from my understanding, it can be pruned following good horticultural practice. And what I also understand is fruit trees refers to any apples, pears and plum. And in fact, from what I also understand is that if it is a business, or if they become a, I think we allowed a permission on here, the last meeting outside of...
Apple,
that's right, yes. My understanding is that many fruit trees are not automatically exempt unless they are actively used. Business. So the way I'm thinking is that when the business is up and running, those trees would be able to be dealt with anyway. So largely, I can see this just a case of one TPO going, which is an area, and this gives greater definition or clarity on the trees that would be under the TPO and make that much clearer. So I can actually see where the officers are.
But Mr. Harrison
from.
Has just said that those fruit trees will need permission if it's likely to be pruned.
Not if it's a business,
twice a year.
According to what I understand. And we gave that permission, as I say, for the apple or whatever it was, or the gentleman who came and spoke. Means fruit trees, unless are not automatic exempt unless actively used for business. My understanding was it was going to be a business. That's what we agreed. So the fruit trees really are. surety about the other trees. That's my understanding, Chairman. And it's a wildlife site as well.
Authority's consent is otherwise generally required for carrying out prohibited activities to a fruit tree protected by an order and not cultivated on a commercial basis.
That's more or less, I think, what I read. Just the other factor about great public and Council Helen's point, which is not you, but from what I also understand, it has to bring a reasonable degree of public benefit in the present or for the future. And you've got to look at the future potential as an amenity as well, and contribution to a relationship with the landscape. And previously, as I say, there was the TPO there, and this is getting rid of that area, and just making it clearer which trees would be under this TPO. I believe it's what the government, through the change in regulations, was saying to the authorities perhaps should do. That's my understanding of it all.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm really confused by this, in as much as I live in the Endway, and in the whole of the Endway we have many oak trees that are in excess of 100 years old. That also goes into Old Heath. None of those oak trees, which clearly are special trees, which is what a TPO is supposed to be for, I believe, none of them have a TPO on them. I find it really confusing as to why officers are wanting to put TPO on fruit trees that are, some of them, only 2 years old. So because I was so confused, I phoned today and spoke to two horticulturalists, both highly qualified, both have lived in the Northern District and worked in the Northern District for many, many years. And neither of them had ever heard of the council putting TPOs on fruit trees. But one of them did say that many years ago, somebody that had planted an apple tree for personal reasons, I believe somebody had died in it, anyway, for personal family reasons, they requested that there be a TPO on one particular apple tree. And that is, from both of these specialists, that's the only one of them had heard of this only once ever. So I'm still really confused as to why they would want to have, the council officers would want to have TPOs on the majority of these trees. Mm.
Councillor,
I think, something about the kit. Can we, I wonder if the officer could go to page 24. On page 24, there's a photograph looking through some grand entrance gates, and then from what I can see, it sort of looks across, and then there's some trees to the left, and there's a big tree a long way away. Can you also give me some kind of an indication where these trees number T1 to T8 are in relation to that photograph?
T1 and T2 over to the right hand side, sort of on the very edge of that.
Sorry, T1 and
T2.
T1 and T2. So, does that mean that T4 is somewhere to the left?
T4 would be sort of further into the distance, I believe. That's the
Chairman, I can't. You know, Chairman, we talk about ecology, don't we? We talk about the environment, and I think that there's a very dangerous precedent here. Some trees on their land. They could plant some trees on their land, and then a couple of years later the council could come along and say, well, actually this is now some kind of amenity value to the people that drive past every day. You can't do anything with them. I mean, I know the applicant's here, but I mean, the pictures I've seen, one looks like, I thought you were going to say this was an ancient woodland, or something, but it's not. It just looks like a load of tortured scrub. You know, just, I don't know what's underneath this, but it just, I cannot really see the merits of doing this, and I think it's a very dangerous thing to do.
I mean, I think the I mean, there are obviously a number of oak trees that are probably worth having, worth saving, and I believe the applicants have confirmed that they don't have any objection to that. But I have a huge concern about the orchard trees.
Yep.
And as for other trees that the applicants have planted, I'm not sure, and I don't think that it looks like woodland trees to me in that bottom photograph on page 24. It looks like scrub. And I don't understand how we can go putting TPOs on that and expect them to be respected by people, because as soon as you start doing this, it causes complete confusion in the whole district.
Well, Chairman, if you let me come back. I mean, I did ask this morning if it was possible to have the tree officer here today, and it's on Mr. House, and Mr. House said that it was too late to arrange it. But I mean, really and truly, if we're going to properly consider this, I mean, this photograph to me, you know, that screams to me, this, and the two pictures scream to me that we shouldn't be doing this. However, somebody said that some of these oaks are worth saving in the future. But wouldn't it have been useful if the tree officer could have provided some photographs of these trees so that we could fully understand it? And I mean, Mr. I can't think of his name now, but it's somebody, Mr. Forbes, something else, has obviously got a quite serious view on this. I mean, I'm wondering, Chairman, whether or not, and I'll make a proposal that we defer this, to either have a site visit or to get some proper photographs of these trees. Because what I see at the moment doesn't justify.
Is that seconded? But Councillor Helm, you did want to say something.
I did mention I went down there and looked in the shrubland. There was, I asked where the photo was taken because there's a fence clearly along their boundary, and there's no bloody fence in their photographs. So whether that picture is somewhere completely different, I'm not sure.
We certainly need some more information, I think.
Yeah.
And I think officers should go away and seriously look at the merits of this.
Yes, I do.
Councillor Sassolino. I said I don't want to visit too much of this.
No,
being a deferment can be discussed later.
I'm not keen on deferring this. I actually think that if it's possible, Chairman, that we perhaps put TPOs on the oak trees, which I understand the applicant actually found more than the council thought were there in the first place. I don't have a problem with, in fact, I believe that many oak trees should have TPOs on them. However, I don't agree with deferring this. I think there's been enough time spent on it by officers, and I believe that we should actually not agree with the recommendation. But I'm quite in favour of the...
We've got on the table, we've got a proposal from Councillor Fluker, duly seconded by Councillor Mrs. Channer, to defer. Those in favour of deferment...
The officer present. We want the tree officer.
Well, we want the tree officer, and also the opportunity for the...
And Chairman, with better pictures that are annotated back to the plan, so we can tell exactly what's going on.
So we know what we're looking at.
And if possible, we'll have a site visit as well.
Yes.
And I think, Chairman, I think we need some kind of I've read the report, but we need to have some kind of a clear indication what the applicant is happy to preserve. If it is T1 to T13,
that's what's been said. I know that. Have you had a... I've received a letter from Julian Forbes Laird, who's there. Tree expert. Has anybody else received that letter?
No.
It's a shame you haven't. It was sent ahead of of Legal and Democratic Services at Malton,
something
and it was copied to me.
Is that the same one?
Yeah.
You have read that.
If it's the one that's attached to an email I received.
Yeah,
that
would have been. Yeah.
Yes, it's the letter.
Right, well, bearing in mind this is not wholly agreed yet, those in favour of deferment, please show. So that is a majority, so it will be deferred to come back at a later date. And may I suggest that we do exactly the same with agenda item 7.
Yes,
agreed. Is that agreed?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Councillor Helm first, I think you did.
Can I point out for the next agenda the shrub land that goes down to the esplanade behind the houses, a lot of that's been cleared and jumped by the residents, but fenced it off. A lot of that's been cleared, so that needs investigating as well.
Well, again, it can all be looked at. Maybe the officers can come back with a better report.
Yeah, because then that'll need replanting looked at.
Yeah. Councillor Beale.
Mr. Chairman, I've been here a long time, not just tonight, and over that period of years, we've got this sort of strange art, tree preservation. Does anybody really know what the tree preservation situation is? Because I think it might need reviewing, and the present tree preservation officer come here and explaining their view on what it means. Because you'll find that we talk about the regulations, and then we suddenly find that they seem to be quite ridiculous on certain aspects.
Well, I'm certain the time that I've been here, which is not quite as long as yourself, but I have never seen an application at a TPO as honestly as peculiar as that one. I find it absolutely extraordinary.
And I think we should not just about this decision, but also understand the basis and relevance of why the tree officer has put forward this opinion. You know, we're not trying to say the tree officer does or doesn't know what they are. We respect that situation, but I do think it's a case of we ought to be equally aware of the situation that has arisen to give this sort of proposal.
Right, if we can
Mr.
move
Chairman, just picking up from Councillor Bill, would it be possible for the officer to email us Morden District Council's definition of a TPO and the circumstances under which they wish they seek to put a TPO on? That would be very useful.
This is, I think, is a basis, Councillor Elliot, of possibly a seminar so people can throw questions at the person and have it explained completely. It might go into quite some
but
time.
If you find that email, Julian Forbes' letter, says that they must be trees, that they must not be scrub, which is as good a definition as you're going to get.
Thank you, Chairman, but I would like more I'd like the planning officer's definition as well.
Okay. Right, thank you. Well,
so
if we can move
don't
on.
Define a tree, that's the thing. And they cover saplings and other stuff. And then you're talking about hedgerows on the hedgerow, but they're saying trees from the hedgerow to some degree. So I think it's the.
Well, let's move on, because all this can come back at it. At a later date. Agenda item 8, Ashildon Pit, Southminster Road, Ashildon, Essex, erection of an education centre, tea room, 6 holiday log cabins, staff workers accommodation, a welfare cabin and 6 fish breeding pods, an associated hard standing parking and access point. It's a major application, it's here as I called it in, and there's a recommendation to refuse.
Centre, which is an existing building. Again, the education centre with the
proposed three-bedroom dwelling, and the holiday cabins, of which there'd be six of. Here we have various photographs of the site, particularly from the accesses, in the road, north, top right and bottom left. More from Rush's Lane, top left, and to the road, top right. More photos. And then the existing buildings within the site are the top two there. This has been put forward as a tourism use of the site. However, officers consider this to be an unsustainable location for tourist development. It's remote from settlement boundaries, from public transport connections, and from all other tourist attractions within the district. Contrary to policy E5 of the local development plan, the proposed workers' dwelling is again outside the settlement boundary, contrary to the development plan. For that reason, it doesn't tick the boxes of the rural workers' dwelling because there's no essential need, in the opinion of officers, for a dwelling to be at the site. The and therefore it can't utilise the exemption or exception to the conventional position of home dwellings in the countryside. There's an objection from the coastal countryside officer on the grounds of the ecology impact, which hasn't been suitably clarified through the necessary additional survey work, which could be done, by September, but isn't before us at the time we're determining the application, so we have to determine on what's before us. And finally, we've also objected to the application on the grounds of the impact of the comings and goings at the south part of the site on the impact of the neighbouring residential properties. For those four reasons, it's considered it's not sustainable development, contrary to the development plan, and therefore we recommend refusal of the application.
Thank you. Before I move into the public speakers, I know the applicants would have asked for the application to be deferred until the ecology reports have completed coming in. So it's up to members whether or not you wish to defer it. Harrison has told us he doesn't think there's any real advantage in that, but it is down to members to do so. If you want to defer it, I'd rather go down that route now, but you can think about it while the public speakers are making their point.
Chairman, if it helps you,
are members in favour of deferral? Please show. In that case, this item is also deferred. Come back to us after September, I would assume.
Mr. Chairman, would it be worthwhile indicating here what doubts we have and what we need for that when it comes back?
It's a bit difficult to come up with that simply because we haven't discussed it, and so I don't think it'd be necessarily correct for us to do so. We know that the ecology report hasn't been completed and cannot be completed until September. And also, obviously, the applicants know what concerns the officers have, which they need to answer. And I think, really, as far as it goes, that's where we've got to leave it.
Yeah.
We've agreed to defer it, and that's what we'll do. Agenda item 9, any other items of business the chairman of the committee decides are urgent? I have none. It's not an agenda item, but there are reports for noting which you would have found on the iDrive or in the members' room.
Noted.
Which are other area planning related matters, appeals lodged and appeal decisions.
Noted.
If there's no comments to make on that, then I'll close the meeting at 8:19. Thank you, members.